Good morning and welcome to Old Lion, Young Lion Season 3. We are excited to be back with you. We took a summer break, but now we are back and we know that you missed us. And you know what? We missed you too. We're excited to not only be back on WPTR, but we've expanded to 5 new radio stations in the Capital District, as well as Apple Music, Spotify, and YouTube. So if you have been missing out on getting your Old Lion, Young Lion, now we are back for the foreseeable future. And my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with our resident Old Lion, Samuel Hazleton. And we are elders of a local church in Schenectady, New York. It's called Electric City Baptist Church. Exciting news about our church is that we're planting a new church in upstate New York that will be called Refuge City Bible Church. So be on the lookout for new stuff coming out. And we are attacking upstate New York and the Northeast with the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is prophesied about us that the righteous will be bold as lions. And we are not only bold on this show, Old Lion, Young Lion, but we are bold in preaching the gospel to everyone that we come in contact with and pointing to the Lion of the tribe of Judah, our very King, our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited about this year and this season, number 3. I'm really pumped about what we're going to get into, but we want you to know that you can reach out to us anytime. You can ask a Bible question. You can reach out for counseling, for prayer. You can even get your name shouted out on the radio if you reach out to us, and you can reach out to us at oldlionyounglion@gmail.com. Thank you to all the listeners last season that reached out to us and gave us comments and questions. And feel free to jump back on your electronic mail and reach out to us this season. Now, before we jump into our regular setup of the show, we want you to know that we meet every Sunday morning to worship the Lord Jesus Christ at 2350 Hamburg Street. Come and hear the book opened, hear the people sing, and come and join the fellowship and the movement that God has going on, advancing his message in the Albany area. Before we jump into a word of prayer, our first word of prayer of many by the elder Sam Hazleton, Old Lion, we want to shout out today's sponsor and thank them for the special financial gift that they sent to us, the newly married Cody and Caitlin Vanduwerker. And I'm so happy to congratulate them on many, many, many future years of marital bliss and serving the kingdom as now one flesh. So before we get started into season 3, Old Lion, are you excited about season 3?
You know I am.
And I know it from the look on your face and that exuberant response. And so if you could you kick off our show like we normally do in traditional fashion with a word of prayer?
Yes, I will. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to be back here broadcasting on the radio in 2025. Lord, we are about to embark on a topic I think that is of particular relevance to our time. Lord, we're going to be looking at the history and the nation and the prophetic future of the nation of Israel over the next few weeks. Father, I pray that you'd give us grace as we open up the scriptures. Lord, I know that we're going to be sharing some things that people have never considered before, and I ask for your grace and your wisdom as we do this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I pray a blessing over all those that are listening, and we don't know where you're walking at with the Lord and where he's been pulling on you. The Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is sent out to convince the world of sin and righteousness. So whether you're a Christian or not, the Holy Spirit is calling you to step closer to the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, Jesus Christ. And I hope this show is a stepping stone closer to him. Now, Sam, before we jump into this extremely hot topic about Israel, what the Bible says about Israel, what's going on in the state of events throughout the world, can you just give us some quick insight to how the first two seasons of Old Lion, Young Lion have gone? Tell us a little bit about, you know, where we've kind of been on a journey and where we're going to go this season. And, you know, give it a little snippet. You don't have to go in detail, but tell us a little bit about how God's worked through the show and the last 2 years and what we got going on the horizon of this year, season 3.
If you had to put a label on our season 2, I think the idea was we did a lot of focusing on what this Antichrist is all about. We covered certain Antichrist religions that have worked their way into the public forum. And we are now changing our focus away from the Antichrist, and we're focusing today on the Antichrist's arch enemy, which is the nation of Israel that brought forth the Savior of the world, the Lord Jesus Christ, and features prominently in God's prophetic predictions for what's coming on in the end times.
Yeah, I love this. And we're not going to shy away from any hard topics or what's culturally appropriate or what Christians are allowed to say, as if anybody could ever tell me what I'm ever going to say except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to preach the word of God to the best of our ability. And we're going to do our best to have this season three rooted in scripture and declaring the word of truth. As we've said since the very day one of this show, that it is our job and our responsibility to dig into the word of God and proclaim the mysteries and proclaim the things that Jesus has taught from Genesis all the way to Revelation. So we're going to start off with this topic, and it's going to go for the next 3 weeks about the nation of Israel, what the Bible has to say about it, or what's going on with it. And I want to be very clear. The prophet Hosea, who was a Jewish prophet from thousands of years ago, he gave us one of the most quotable mic drop statements that you can ever find, not only in scripture, but anywhere. And he said this, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Later on, we get the Solomon, the wisest king of all time in the book of Proverbs. He writes, "Wisdom is crying out in the streets." Clearly, through scripture, we get an indication that people will rise and fall based on their understanding of God and what God wrote down. If you haven't dug into the scripture, if you haven't seen what the Bible teaches, you probably should spend some time being quiet. The Bible says that the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. What we're going to do is set some things straight right from the word of God, and you won't be able to argue with us. You can take it straight to the very author of the book whom we declare. And there's too many people out there, talking heads, that think that they can come up with an opinion or a thought or an idea or a theology that's not based directly from the word of God and that it should be heard. Let me tell you, it should not be, but rather we should convince the gainsayers, as Titus teaches us, and shut the mouths of them that teach in opposition of the word of God. So with that being said, we're going to zero in on this nation of Israel. And what I kind of see on the first forefront of this is it looks like everywhere you go and everywhere you turn, this kind of nation state is the focus of the whole world. You might want to ask yourself why that is. So Sam, what do you think is going on? Why is there a kind of a focus on what's happening in this small country in the Middle East?
It is amazing. We don't hear a lot on every single news cycle about the nation of Belize in Central America.
I heard about that in like 10th grade, maybe geography, but I think you're right. Exactly. You don't hear about it.
You're not hearing about how the world is in turmoil over what's happening in Iceland.
Right.
And there's a reason for that. There is a spiritual background to everything that's happening out and being played out on the planet right now. And so the nation of Israel, something unique about it is this city of Jerusalem. This is actually the city that God himself has chosen to dwell there forever. This nation, he says, my eye is always upon it. His heart is on this land, what was called in the Bible, in the Old Testament, the land of Canaan, that was given over by God to Abraham and his descendants forever. And it's an amazing thing. Here we are in 2025 AD. We are 4,000 years away from the birth of Abraham, to whom God gave this land and promised this land. And here we are. Since 1948, this same nation, these descendants of Abraham himself, have been back in the land of Israel. They were banished from it back in 70 AD when the Roman emperor came and destroyed the city, destroyed the second temple. And since then, the Jewish people have been pushed around, shoved around, persecuted, kicked out over all the nations of the world without a homeland until 1948, in one day, Harry Truman signs into existence the modern day nation or state of Israel, May 14th, 1948, which is in perfect alignment with a prophecy in your Old Testament, the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 8. And it says this, "Shall a nation be born in a day?" And so in one day, this nation, which didn't exist for almost 2,000 years, was signed into existence. And now another prophecy was fulfilled, as from all over the world, people of Jewish nationality, Jewish descent, were flocking back to this little land of Israel that had been abandoned. It was a desert wasteland. When Mark Twain went to visit Israel in the 1800s, all he saw, it was just a desert. Nobody was in the land. It wasn't like there was some thriving Palestinian society there. It was a wasteland. Nobody wanted it. Nobody cared about it. And now all of a sudden, from all over the world, Jews were flocking. And there's another prophecy in Isaiah that says this: they will fly in upon the shoulders of the Philistines. And that may not make any sense to people, but in reality, here we have the airport in Israel is in Tel Aviv. Tel Aviv is located right, if you look at a map, it's right on the shoulders of the land of Philistia, on the west coast of Israel, right on the Mediterranean. And so this prophecy from Isaiah literally fulfilled in our modern times, as all these planes are flying into Tel Aviv, bringing plane loads after plane load after plane load of Jewish people back to their ancestral homeland. This is all unfolding and happening in our modern times, right before our very eyes, exactly the way God predicted it in your Bible.
Wow. I think in order to kind of set the stage for understanding the context of this story and nation of Israel, as the famous Julie Andrews would say, let's start at the very beginning, a very good place to start. And so let's kind of bring maybe the listener back to where the formation of this nation started. And that's with a guy named Abraham. So Sam, why don't you give them a little bit of the history? We kind of looked at some of the modern day events and maybe how Jeremiah and Isaiah have prophesied thousands of years after them. But talk a little bit about Genesis, maybe where early parts of Romans, some of Galatians talks about this character named Abraham, where the nation actually starts. What's the history that brings us, the Bible history that brings us to our view of Israel today?
We all know about the flood of Noah, occurred about 2500 BC or so, and all the earth was destroyed, all the people on it died, and Noah's family, eight people, were saved, and they reestablished the earth from that time forward. And as was the case, because humankind, which had fallen into this place of sin after the fall of Adam and Eve in the garden, nothing had changed in the family of Noah and his family. There's nothing had changed. Their sons, their daughters were sinners just like they were. And so this nation came. There was a Tower of Babel that was built afterward. And at this Tower of Babel, people were trying to build a tower up to heaven. They were trying to contact the heavenly realms through occult practices. God looked down, confused the languages. Now, all of a sudden, you have these 70 nations, these 70 different languages going throughout. And among those 70 languages, God chooses this one man in Genesis chapter 12, Abraham. And he says, Abraham, I want you to leave your kindred, to leave your family, to leave your place. He lived in what is now modern-day Iraq, in a place called Ur. And he sent this man, he says, I'm going to send you to a place that I will show you later. And Abraham salutes God, says, okay, I'm off. He packed everything up, and he leaves, going where he did not even know. God was taking him to the land of Canaan, the place which would be given forever to him and his descendants. So Abraham responds to God's call in faith, and he says, yes, I will go.
God blesses always throughout Scripture, from page one to page done, those that walk by faith. And we clearly see that faith is the avenue whereby one is declared righteous, which is what happened with Abraham, which is what happened with all those that have called upon the name of the Lord. And David tells us, I have been old and I have been young, and I've never seen the righteous forgotten. I've never seen the righteous in need of bread. And so this faithful Abraham was able to be blessed by the Lord. It actually shows up in Genesis 12 and Genesis 15 that Abraham is going to be blessed. But then we come to some of Abraham's sons. And so we see Abraham, then we see Isaac, and then we see Jacob. And so, Sam, once we get to Jacob, tell about how the actual nation is starting to be formed through Abraham's children.
Jacob, he's Abraham's grandson. And I just want to point out real quick, Abraham, I like to say it this way, Abraham's story is God's story. Abraham is actually walking out in sort of a simplistic earthly manner the entire overarching plan of God for all of history. Abraham, his name was Abram, exalted father. God was the father of our Lord Jesus Christ from before all eternity. He was an exalted father in heaven. Abram's name was changed to Abraham, which means father of a multitude. So the story of God is that this exalted father wants to bring many sons to glory, as it says in Romans chapter 8. Then he has a son, Isaac, this child of the promise, born and conceived of his mother, Sarah, who was infertile. She was unable to have children, and yet by the promise and by the miracle of God, she was able to have, she and Abraham, even though they were in their old age, past the age to conceive, have this son, Isaac. Abraham represents God the Father. Isaac represents God the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And then Isaac has, he gets married to a Gentile bride, if you will, Rebecca, and together they have twins, Jacob and Esau. Esau comes out red and hairy. He is a representative of the flesh. Jacob comes out, he's a smooth man, oil smooth, and he is a quiet man dwelling in tents. So Jacob, as Abraham represents God the Father, Isaac represents God the Son, Jacob, whose name was later changed to Israel, represents the Holy Spirit. He's a smooth man. He's a quiet man dwelling in tents, just like the Holy Spirit dwells in our physical tabernacles inside the tents of our bodies through his Holy Spirit. And so the whole Trinity is represented in these three forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then we get to the sons, Jacob's sons. He had 12 sons, just like these became the 12 tribes of Israel. And 10 of them took their brother Joseph. They were very jealous of him. He was the favorite of his father. His brothers were jealous of him. They took him. They sold him into slavery, into Egypt. And Joseph goes down into Egypt. They told their father that he was dead. He winds up in prison in Egypt. He rots in prison for a few years there unjustly. And finally, he has dreams. Pharaoh hears about him. He interprets Pharaoh's dreams and winds up giving wisdom that saves the entire world from a famine that was coming for 7 years. His brothers come down into Egypt to get grain, which Joseph had stored up. And the first time they come, his brothers don't recognize him, and Joseph does not reveal himself to them. They're buying the grain from him, and they're still in their guilt. They know what they've done to their brother, but they think for the time being that it's not catching up with them. But now this famine comes. They see that their sin is catching up with them. He hasn't revealed himself to them. He treats them harshly, and then again, they run out of food. They have to go back. And on the second time that they go down into Egypt, Joseph reveals himself, who he is, to his brothers.
Well, what you see is that almost the first time that Joseph shows up, they received him not.
That's right.
And the second time, they received him. So give us the correlation as we're building the history of this nation. We're going to see some prophetic and great parabolic pictures that the Holy Spirit carved into the writ of Scripture that depicts not only the gospel of Jesus to show up, but also how things are going to end in God's kind of program of the whole world. So talk about the correlation between Joseph and his first visit versus his second visit, and Jesus and the nation of Israel with his first visit versus their second visit.
Well, John chapter 1 says he came to his own. Jesus came to his own people, and his own received him not. But as many as did receive him, he gave them the right or the power to become the children of God. And this is paralleled in this story of Joseph in advance, 2,000 years before the coming of Jesus, that the Jesus story is actually illustrated here. And so they come down. Finally, Joseph, he sees his brothers are shocked. Because Joseph, when they sit down to eat with him, he puts them in exact order of their age and their birth. Like, how could anyone know that? 12 brothers know exactly what order that they were born in.
Well, I'm the oldest of eight, so I could do it, but I understand this. You got to be an insider. It's great, yeah.
You got to be an insider.
You got to be an insider.
So Joseph does this. These guys are looking at each other. They're amazed. And then finally, he, in his emotion, in his love for his brothers, even in spite of what they did for him, he has been playing them for a little while. He's been treating them kind of harshly a little bit for a while, but he can no longer contain himself. He sends all the Egyptians out of the room. He's just left with he and his brothers, and he finally reveals himself to them. He says, "I am Joseph." And they are at first dismayed, but then he speaks to them. They understand that he doesn't hold any ill will to them. He says this. He says, "What you did in selling me as a slave into Egypt, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, and he is now saving the entire world with the grain that was stored up."
And this is the storyline in the history of the nation of Israel, that men mean things for evil, and God is working this plan out for good. And so we see this kind of family tree building. We end up having Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And let me just be clear. If you're a Christian, you're a follower of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You are not a follower of the God of Washington, Jefferson, and Lincoln. It's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's his title, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so after we see this son of Joseph, they come into this other nation, Egypt, and it's very interesting. They have to go there. We know the famous story about Moses setting the people free. He then gives them laws. Then he brings on a second in command named Joshua. Joshua gives them places to live. They're in the promised land. And then I know we've kicked ahead in the story, but it's important because what men mean for evil, God brings about for good. And then God raises up these guys. After Moses and Joshua, he raises up these guys named judges. And we see a guy named Ehud and Othniel. But then there's a very important character in the Bible, a mighty man of valor, he's called. And this man's name is Gideon. And we're going somewhere with this story. And so it's to establish what's going to happen in the future of Israel, looking back at the history of Israel. So Sam, tell us what's happening with the story of this judge Gideon, and how is it going to correlate to what's going to happen not only in the future of the world, but throughout from Gideon until now. It seems like there's a picture in the story of Gideon.
When God gave the Ten Commandments and the law to Moses, to the nation of Israel, here's one thing he said before Moses died. He said, "You guys are going to violate this law over and over again, and it's going to result in you being judged. It's going to result in you being kicked out of your land." But he says in Deuteronomy, "I will bring you back to the land." He makes that promise. But then after this time, Gideon arises as one of the judges. As the nation of Israel has turned away from God time and time again, God would raise up a judge. And this was another one of those times. The nation of Israel had fallen into bondage to the nation of Midian, and Gideon was raised up as a judge. Jesus comes and visits Gideon. He's there threshing wheat in the wine press, and Jesus comes to him, the angel of the Lord. Anytime you see in your Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, that's Jesus. And he comes to visit Gideon and says, "Hey, you're going to save your people." Gideon says, "Are you sure, God?" And he goes and he prays to God and he says, "If this is really you, if this you want me to save the nation of Israel, I'm going to do a little test. I'm going to take this fleece. This fleece is about the size of a 11 by 14 piece of paper. It's a piece of lamb's wool." And he says, "I'm going to put it outside tonight. And I want there tomorrow morning to be just dew on the fleece, but I want the ground to be completely dry." And so God says, "Okay." He goes to bed. Next morning he wakes up and the fleece is soaking wet. He wrings it out into a bowl of water and the ground is completely dry. So you'd think that Gideon would be, "Okay, that proved it to me." But he's like, "I want to check one more time to make sure this is you calling me to do this, God." And so he says, "Tonight, I'm going to put the fleece out again, and I want you to make it dry, and then I want the whole ground around it to be wet." So the complete opposite. God does that the next morning. Well, this was something that helped Gideon in his faith to know that God was calling him to conquer the land of Midian. But it was also, at the same time, in Scripture, and God does this all the time throughout the Old Testament, that little story is also a prophetic picture of what's going to happen in the future in the world.
So tell us the connection between the Gideon and the Gideon story and the prophecy about the future of the world.
Okay. The connection is this. The fleece, this little piece of lamb's wool, is the nation of Israel. The ground, all surrounding ground, is the rest of the world. So for the first 2,000 years, from Abraham to the Lord Jesus Christ, those 2,000 years, God, all of God's attention, all of God's grace, all of the things that God was doing was focused on this tiny little land of Israel, and the rest of the world was really ignored in the purposes and plans and history and testimonies of God. However, when Jesus arrives, he comes to his own people rejected him. And Paul says in Acts chapter 13, verse 46, he goes to a synagogue, he preaches Jesus, they rejected him. He says, from now on, I'm turning to the Gentiles. Mm. And at that moment, the focus of God's favor and God's blessing and God's anointing switched from this land of Israel, which had rejected their Savior, and it was thrust out upon the rest of the world. And since then, we've all been in this period of time where God's blessing has been upon the Gentile nations. The church has blossomed and grown in every nation, while during this time, the nation of Israel is in blindness. A partial hardening has come upon them. However, the big question, and we're going to deal with this next week, is what does the future hold for this nation of Israel, this little dry fleece? What is going to happen in the future?
And this fulfills a prophecy from the prophet Habakkuk. You may never have even heard this book, especially in the churches in America. You probably never even opened this book in your Sunday morning services. But the book of Habakkuk in chapter number 2, it says that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Because not only is it God's intention to restore fully the nation of Israel, but what he wants is the fleece wet and the ground wet completely. Right. He wants to fill the earth with the knowledge of the Lord. He wants waters and the wetness of the dew of the Lord over every nation and every people and every tongue. Now, this is just the beginning of what we're just jumping off of in this story of Israel. What we're trying to establish is that when you look at Romans chapter number 11 and you see that you should not boast against the natural branch, this is not just some political game. This is an establishment of truth from the book of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, and so on. And we're establishing that fact with truth from the Word of God. Now, we're not a show necessarily that dabbles in politics or that gets into the fashion world or the sports world, though we may mention one of these things. What our job and responsibility is to do is to discover what is in Scripture and declare it boldly to the world. And that is what we did today, and that is what we will continue to do for the rest of Season 3. Thank you for staying tuned with us. I hope you'll keep up with the show for the rest of the season, and God bless.
And we'll see you in church.